Well, please take your Bibles and turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 98. Psalm 98, you'll find that on page 688 of the Pew Bible. Psalm 98 is entitled a psalm. And it says, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained him the victory. The Lord has made known his salvation, his righteousness he has revealed in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his mercy and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth in song. Rejoice and sing praises. Sing to the Lord with the harp and the sound of a psalm, with trumpets and the sound of a horn. Shout joyfully before the Lord, the King. Let the sea roar in all its fullness, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth with righteousness. He shall judge the world and the peoples with equity." And that concludes the reading of God's holy word. Let's come to our God now in prayer and ask for his blessing upon his word. Let's pray. Father, creator of this beautiful world, Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning, from whom comes down every good and perfect gift. O Lord, your name is holy. You are above our thoughts and yet near to us. And Lord, you are so good to us. You're changeless in your mercy and in your grace. Your name is glorious, and it's blessed altogether. Father, we pray that you who are the light of the world, the God of God, light of light, very God of very God, would bless us this day with your word. Guide us with your spirit. Help us to understand what, Lord, normally might just pass by us. Help us to know your will, and to equip us with your spirit this day. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Please take your Bibles once again and turn to the Old Testament. We'll read now from 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles 16, which will be our text as well. And you'll find that on page 477 of the Pew Bible. 1 Chronicles 16, beginning our reading at verse 8. Down to verse 36, which will also be our text for this morning. First Chronicles 16, beginning our reading at verse 8. Hear now God's holy word. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing psalms to him, talk of all his wondrous works, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength, seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O seed of Israel, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Remember his covenant forever, the word which he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham and his oath to Isaac, and confirmed it to Jacob for a statute, to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, 'To you I will give the land of Canaan as the allotment of your inheritance.' When you were few in number, indeed, very few, and strangers in it. When they went from one nation to another and from one kingdom to another people, he permitted no man to do them wrong. Yes, he rebuked kings for their sakes, saying, "Do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm." Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. And let them say among the nations, "The Lord reigns." Let the sea roar in all its fullness. Let the field rejoice in all that is in it. Then the trees of the woods shall rejoice before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And say, "Save us, O God of our salvation. Gather us together and deliver us from the Gentiles, to give thanks to your holy name, to triumph in your praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting." And all the people said, "Amen," and praised the Lord. Well, our text for this morning will be from that passage that we just read from 1 Chronicles 16, verses 8 to 36. Again, found on page 477. Encourage you to have that open before you this morning. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, memory is a very important part of our social social relationships. We remember birthdays, anniversaries. We look through the photo album with friends and family as we remember certain things that happened. And that's why we also celebrate these national holidays, as we remember what the Lord has done for us. In the same way, memory is an important part of our spiritual lives, as we need to look back on history and remember what the Lord has done. Here in 1 Chronicles, rather, chapter 16, David had instructed Asaph and his brothers to put together some psalms to remember what the Lord had done. This had been a very memorable occasion. They had taken the Ark of the Covenant, and they had brought it into Jerusalem in order to establish the worship there. It had been in the midst of the tabernacle. The Lord had been with them through this process. And now, in commemoration of what had happened, David instructed the singers, the Levites in particular, to commemorate and to thank and praise the Lord for what he had done for them. When they put the psalm of thanks together, what they did was they took three psalms that we find in the Psalter and they put them together. For example, verses 8 to 22 is almost word for word from Psalm 105, verses 1 to 15. And then verses 22 to 23 are taken from Psalm 96. And then the last bit of this song of praise, verses 34 to 36, are from Psalm 106, from the first verse and the last two verses of that psalm. Why did they do this? Because they wanted all Israel to make these words their own, to make it personal for them. As they remembered the past, as they celebrated the victories that the Lord gave them, as well as the blessings that they had received, they were to conclude that all that they had was from Him. David's song spoke not only to the Israelites in David's day, but also to the Israelites after the exile, as well as for all God's people today, including us this morning. And so this morning we want to consider the word of the Lord from 1 Chronicles 16 under the theme, Give Thanks, and for three reasons. First, for His promise. Secondly, for His power. And then lastly, for His pardon. So first of all, for His promise. As we said, verses 8 to 22, the first part of the psalm is based almost word for word on Psalm 105, verses 1 to 15, with two exceptions. The first is found in verse 13 in Psalm 105. It says, seed of Abraham, but here instead of seed of Abraham, it's replaced with seed of Israel. As a nation, Israel found expression in Abraham, their forefather. So the slight change makes total sense. And the second exception is found in verse 19, which is slightly different from Psalm 105. In Psalm 105, it states, when they were few in number, but here in verse 19, it's much more personal. He uses the word you. God gave you the land of Canaan when you were few in number. And this, again, makes sense when we look over the events of the time when this is written. David was interpreting these glorious events of his day as the fulfillment of the promises made to Abraham. As God is a God of promise, He designs to do, and He uses crooked sticks like Abraham and all those who came after him, who were called by Him, to fulfill His promises. No wonder then when the words of this beautiful song were being put together in this way, it begins with those words, Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the nations. We need to do that, to thank God, to call upon His name, and proclaim Him to others. And just by way of illustration, it was said of Richard Baxter, the English reformer, the English pastor who lived in the 1600s, that much blessing came from his ministry. It was so successful that people during the week or on Sunday, they would be singing songs together. They'd be praising God. They would be talking about the sermon that they heard on the Sunday. As one reported on this work, he said, On the Lord's Day, there was no disorder to be seen in the streets, but you might hear 100 families singing psalms and repeating sermons as you passed through them. There are many reasons, of course, for that success, but one of them was because of the Lord. And these words were written on the pulpit. Verse 8 of this passage, Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the nations. Shouldn't that be our heart's desire today, brothers and sisters? Wouldn't it be wonderful if that was the goal of every person here living in Winnipeg, to do this, to give God the honor? Wouldn't it be wonderful if all Manitobans, or wouldn't it be wonderful if all Canadians were thankful to God for all that He has done? That's the opportunity that we have today. And notice how we're called to do this. Verse 9 commands us to sing to Him, sing psalms to Him, talk of all His wondrous works. Verse 10 commands, glory in His holy name and rejoice, you who seek the Lord. Verse 11 says, Seek the Lord in His strength, seek His face evermore. And then verse 12 adds, Remember His marvelous works which He has done. That's exactly why this psalm was written, to remind Israel what God had done for them. We would be far more thankful and far more godlier and far more joyful than we are if we would merely take the time to remember God's mercies to us. How do we thank the Lord? What does it mean to praise Him? We've come to church today to do that, to give Him the glory, to give Him thanks. We are, as the psalmist says, before His face, we're being warmly exhorted by David to give Him the glory. How do we do this when Thanksgiving Day is treated just like another holiday? When our society doesn't want to focus on the religious side of Christmas or Easter and other holidays? It's like reading through the local paper. You can't help but notice the lack of articles and editorials that are dedicated to praising God for all our blessings. And it's pathetic when you listen to those who don't believe give thanks. Who do they give thanks for? Who do they give thanks to? And are they just thankful for their money or family? How do they express their thanks? Giving thanks is equated to feasting on a turkey or to thankful generosity. And it ends up being very superficial, very shallow. As one news report said, most Canadians will end up preparing too much to eat this weekend, and as much as 40% of the leftovers will end up at the curb. And it should be different for us. As important as it was to thank the Lord, one thing that we're to remember is God's covenant. It reminds us of what we've been looking at in the life of Abraham. We saw that in Genesis 15. You remember that story of how Abraham was to divide up the animals in half, and God came upon him with a trance, and Abraham saw this burning torch that went through the halves, picturing to him the covenant that God had made with him. What did all that mean? Well, maybe our children today can remember what all this was about. What God was saying is that He was going to keep the covenant that He was making with Abraham. They would be a people, a large nation. They would be more in number than the sand of the seashore. And they would return to Canaan and take part in this land. All of this David is commemorating here because it came to pass. God had made a promise. He had cut a covenant that He would not break. God set the terms of this covenant, and He was faithful to keep it. And sure enough, we see that He did give Canaan as their inheritance, as verse 18 says. Verse 21 says that He permitted no man to do them wrong, yet He rebuked kings for their sake, saying, "Do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm." And God has done the same for us. He's kept His covenant with you and me. We have done everything contrary to what He has expected. We've broken His commands. We've not kept His word. But what has He done for us? Well, He has sent us His only begotten Son into the world as a sin offering. God has promised us forgiveness of those sins. And as we look back over this year, hopefully we're all able to see His grace in our lives. And that we've received that grace, though it was undeserved. God's been merciful. How about you today, brothers and sisters? Are you joyful in God's goodness? Do you remember His faithfulness? Has your heart been lightened by the fact that you're forgiven of your sins? Can you look back over this year and say that You've had your sins forgiven for the sake of Christ because you trust in Him. And in Him alone, God is to be praised because He's faithful to His promise. We're to rejoice in that. Well, we also are to give Him thanks for His power. Now we see in the second part of this composite psalm in verses 23 to 33. And as we mentioned, this includes the entirety of Psalm 96. Again, there's a strong invitation to worship. All the nations are to praise God. Nature is summoned to praise God, as well as the families of the peoples. Very typical of the Psalms. As ruler, He is worthy of all the nations' praise and all nature's praise. The reason why this is in 1 Chronicles 16 is because the worship of God was in Jerusalem. David had established it there, and the people who were taken captive, who would return, the remnants, they would restore worship there once again. Israel was the center of the universe, and all the nations were to bow in honor of God. And that's what we have to do. We've been made to honor God. So much would be lost if we were not doing that. And again, verses 28 and 29 bring that out. Notice those words. It says, "Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples, give to the Lord glory and strength, give to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." We're to give God the glory. Now, what does that mean? Give God the glory. Glory is a difficult word to define. It refers to the majestic aura of the divine presence, the beauty and the splendor of holiness. In other words, it's the worship of His name. But it's more than this. The Hebrew word kabod, is the word for glory, refers to something that is weighty and impressive. It's His wealth and power, His presence that is active in the world. We see His glory at work in His creation. But we're also called to give Him the glory. We're to give Him the glory. That is what worship is. Very important part of what we're called to do, congregation. We're not to come to church in order to get. Worship is going to church in order to give. We usually think of it the other way around. We come to church to receive. We receive the knowledge of God. We receive answers to our prayers. But here, worship is chiefly bringing glory to Him. He's worthy of this as our God. We come to give of ourselves to Him and to give Him the praise for what He has done. God wants that. God wants us to praise Him and worship Him because He is a God over the gods of this world, as verse 25 says. He wants us to remember Him so that we don't get caught up worshiping idols. And let's never underestimate how we ourselves can be affected by the gods of this world, because we too are surrounded by so many idols. Materialism can become an idol. The things that we have or what we want can tug at our hearts. You know, a young guy maybe looking to get a fast car or truck can mean everything to him. And he'll sink all his money into it. And you can sink a lot of money into a vehicle with monthly payments. And it's almost to the point where that's all that you live for. Or sports can mean everything. hockey lockout. You know, it could be the end of the world because, you know, there won't be any hockey on TV. As well, so can money. How very easy it is, for example, for young married couples to think that we will put off the blessing of having covenant children because we want to build up our equity and accumulate material things and save up some money for the extra expenses. That's the way that the world thinks. Let's accumulate material things. That's our culture. Before you know it, a game on TV ends up taking us away from a Bible study or from personal devotions, from prayer and scripture, and it takes the place of the worship of God. But as we have gathered here for the purpose of thanking the Lord, let me ask you, what are you really thankful for? Why did you come here today? If we're just here to give thanks for our material possessions, then we're coming here just out of superstition. The Lord doesn't want us to think only of the material things. He wants us to remember His greatness. He wants us to remember Him as the rock of our salvation. Of course, we can't forget the material blessings that we have from Him. God has richly blessed us, as He did with so many of His saints. He owns everything in this world, everything in this world anyway. It's all His anyway. What He gives us, He gives in trust so that we'll use His blessings in a way that honors Him. Some of you may be going on a hike today, Birds Hill, maybe the White Shell or somewhere else. You'll be getting close to nature, looking at what God has made. Consider that He spoke the word and the world came into existence. He's the one who controls the weather, the changing of the seasons, the turning of colors on the trees. If He's the God who controls all these things, He wants us to worship Him. Consider that you are stewards of His blessing. And He holds you accountable for how you use them. He's a jealous God, and He cannot stand any rivals. And then we can worship Him along with nature, as verses 32 and 33 say, "Let the sea roar in all its fullness. Let the field rejoice in all that is in it. Then the trees of the woods shall rejoice before the Lord, for He is coming to judge the earth." And it leads us to the third reason we're to praise Him, and that is because of His pardon. As we see there in the last three verses, verses 34 to 36, again, a portion of Psalm 106, the first verse, and the last two verses of Psalm 106. And there's a good reason why this is included in this song of celebration. Most of the psalm expressed mourning and repentance over Israel's many sins. This part is not included, but it certainly is a major reason why God's people are to call upon God, are to call upon Him. Whenever they sinned, they suffered. They were punished by God. But when they returned to Him in prayer and came to Him in repentance, God heard them. They needed His pardon and they needed His protection. And that's why verse 35 says, "And say, save us, O God of our salvation. Gather us together and deliver us from the Gentiles to give thanks to your holy name, to triumph in your praise." And we have to say the same for us, congregation. Our sins and transgressions are very great. They are very many. But God has been merciful to us. This is a reason to be thankful and to worship God this Thanksgiving Day as He tenderly watches over us. And haven't we seen that? If you look back over this year, reflect on His goodness, His grace in coming near to us and watching over us. Jesus Christ is the Good Shepherd. Sometimes the shepherd has to lead his sheep through some dark valleys. How is it possible that we can do that? Well, the Lord is with us. He's upholding us. Psalm 23 says, His rod and His staff comfort you. Psalm 95 says, We're the flock of His hand. It's the same hand who holds the deep places of the earth. The same hand who formed the dry land. God has a mighty hand in the sense that He's powerful to make the land as we see it, the prairies, the mountains, and deep mines in the earth. Again, we have to give God praise for our own province, the province of Manitoba. We've got beautiful farmland. It's been a fairly good year of crops for the most part, when a lot of other farmers in Canada haven't had that. God's been good. It's been a moderately good year for farmers. And then you go north along the beautiful beaches, and again we see the blessing of nature all around us. You know, we go to the east, into the white shell and all the beauty that's there. It's a beautiful cottage country. All of this belongs to God. And we're told that the heights of the hills are His. The waters are His. He formed the land with His mighty hand. All this He did with His power. And yet we, as His people, unworthy as though we are, have received His pardon. Congregation, are you thankful for that today? That's our ultimate purpose, as we already said. And we say it again, because 1 Chronicles 16 says it so often, to give thanks. We're to praise His name for all that He does. Verse 8 says, Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the nations. Verse 34 says, Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Verse 10, Glory in His holy name, let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. And then verse 29, which says, Give to the Lord the glory due His name, bring an offering, and come before Him. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Let's do the same today and forever. Amen. Let's come to our God now in prayer. Lord, we give You thanks with all our hearts, for You have exalted above everything Your name and Your word. We've cried out to You for help, and You've heard us. We've walked in the midst of trouble, and You have preserved our lives. Lord, we have needs of hunger and thirst, and yet You have given us bread and drink. We, Lord, sometimes can lose a sense of our purpose. You have fulfilled our lives with fresh meaning and direction. You are a bountiful God and our gracious Savior. And we, with the psalm writer, give You praise and thank Your name for all that You have done. And so, Lord, hear our prayer. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.